Ain't that a hole in the pool? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life.
I don't want to hear, I don't want to talk. I want to just listen to Sam. So ironic that my producer Richard chose a song from Sammy Davis Jr. Of the Rat Pack. You talk about politically incorrect times. Those were certainly them. Anyway, welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. Follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. And please like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. We are continuing the women's room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is a psychologist and parent coach. And she is the blogger at theparentingplayground.com. So, Dr. Weberman, we were going to continue with your own story of when you stood up and asserted yourself. But I think before we do that, I know you have some tips for young girls, for the parents of young girls, on how to handle situations that may be uncomfortable in this general area. So I'd love you to share them. And if we have time, we'll get to your own story.
Great. So teaching your young daughter how to empower herself and assert herself is a life skill that's going to take her very far. But it starts with you really, as a parent, educating yourself on the definitions of harassment, definitions of assault. A lot of parents are actually pretty blurry about what is considered that and what isn't. So, for example, someone continually asking someone out after they say no, someone might say, well, that boy's really persistent. But actually, that can fall into the category of harassment. So really just knowing the details of it so you can impart that knowledge into your child and to your sons, too. It's really important that they all know what's considered assault.
Wait. I'd like you to take that example, okay, and tell us what the young girl should do. So a young boy is asked out a young girl. She says no. He does it again and again. Okay, at that point, let's say three times, and it's not done in any mean-spirited way or a public way or any humiliating way. He's just being persistent. What should she do?
Yeah, because sometimes they're doing it because they're oblivious to the nonverbal cues that they're making somebody uncomfortable.
Right.
Everyone needs a key phrase. And teaching your daughter a key phrase to use that she can pull out in any circumstance where someone's making her uncomfortable, it could be as simple as, I'm not okay with that. Or, I don't like being spoken to that way. It's modeled in the house. Parents use it when someone's violating their boundaries. And they teach their daughter, their sons, that key phrase. I do this with adults, too. I mean, even adult women need a key phrase to use.
Well, I need one from my wife because she expects me to read her mind. So I really need one from my wife all the time to tell me, okay, what is it I'm supposed to be doing?
I mean, you can have a key phrase for yourself, too, as long as she knows what it means. But you have to have one. And then if the person doesn't respond, now this is deliberate harassment. This isn't a clueless boy who doesn't know when to stop. This is deliberate harassment, and if the person's not stopping, then I think that's when the adults need to get involved. But having kids manage their own issue while it's manageable is one thing. Adults get involved when the issue has become too large for the young kids to manage.
Okay, so again, let's continue with tips. I think that's a great one, that teaching your young girl to know a key phrase. Like, when I said no, that means no. Okay, that's an example.
Powerful.
Okay, and look him in the eye, and that's what you say. And if it happens again, then we're going to have to do something about it.
You take it to the next level.
Right. So, okay, got it. That's great. What else?
The other thing is just making sure that you're having open dialogues about these things. So, for example, you can point out an article, a book, a news clip that you heard, say what you heard, and ask for their opinion about it. Something that has to do with harassment or textual harassment or cyberbullying. It puts them in the position of being knowledgeable because you're asking for their opinion about it. So they don't feel like they're being lectured to or spoken down to. And as long as they feel empowered, they're going to share what they think, and they can actually lead to a meaningful dialogue, which is really important. Another thing is for dads. Dads have a really unique role where they can model good behavior to their sons and their daughters by taking a stand against any kind of sexual harassment or inappropriate ways of degrading women. So imagine a scenario where a teen boy, a high school kid, is harassing a teen girl, and his buddies are standing around, and maybe they're kind of egging him on. But one of those guys turns to the boy and says, I'm not okay with that. That's not an appropriate way to speak to girls. That's much more powerful than the girl asserting herself, because the guy is setting a limit there. So fathers teaching sons to do that and also teaching daughters what's acceptable and what's not acceptable will help empower them.
You know what's interesting is I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back here, but my older son has done that in defense of girlfriends of his. I don't mean girlfriends, but platonic girlfriends of his several times. He's told me that he didn't like the way so-and-so was talking to his friend so-and-so, and he just let him know, I don't like the way you're talking to my friend. And I know he got that from me, and I was so proud. And every time he did it, I gave him huge reinforcement for, you know, being a man. That's being a man. I'm so proud of you that you did that. And usually there was one of his friends whose name was Alex, and we just adored this girl, but she was very little. So not only was she a girl, but she was also tiny. So, you know, that makes her even weaker, so to speak. I don't mean in any meaningful way, but just the size alone is hard. So, you know, she has a guy that's 5'10" or 6', and she's only 4'11", weighing 90 pounds. You know, that's very intimidating. And my son just would protect her. He just did not let anybody give her guff. And I loved when he did that. And she eventually had a boyfriend, and when the boyfriend wasn't around, often my son would protect her. And I thought that was fabulous modeling for his other boyfriends, and it gave her strength to know that there are good boys out there.
Absolutely. He's a young man of integrity, and you're rightfully proud of him. That's beautiful.
I want to know, I'm really curious, because you and I are a absolute generation apart. I'm old enough to be your father, which still makes me crazy to even think that. But I would like to know, what is your definition of sexual harassment? And I don't mean for teen girls. I more mean for adults in the workplace. What do you consider sexual harassment to be?
Well, there's a legal definition, and I know that definition originated when a person of power mm-hmm. uses their power to make demands, sexual demands on an employee. But I think there's sort of the experience of harassment, which is just any time it's unwanted. And that's why it gets so blurry, because, well, if you like the guy, then it's wanted. If you don't like the guy, it's unwanted. But when it crosses the line and makes someone uncomfortable, they feel intimidated, they feel disempowered, they feel unsafe, they feel degraded, then it's become harassment.
Well, the blur to me really becomes what I call the morning after. A woman has been in some way involved, interested in a guy, and then regrets it and decides at that point to turn it into a harassment thing. That really angers me.
That's not harassment, though.
I don't think it is, but some women use it as harassment. And I think that's going over the line. And the notion that harassment is in the eyes of the beholder, I believe that's way too loose a definition. Again, it comes back to the empowerment of the woman. So if that man is making that woman uncomfortable or that teen girl uncomfortable, I would rather we as a society teach our young girls at the age you're talking about or our young women in the workplace to stand up for themselves. And if that doesn't meet with success, then, of course, get some support from other people in your environment, whether it's other women or men. So that's kind of where I got so frustrated and why I wrote the column that I wrote.
Well, people who misuse the law for their own agenda make it harder for the people who actually are the victims and who need that law to protect them from something very legitimate that's going on. And it's unfortunate that it happens. But in my experience in the workplace, we've been discouraged to assert ourselves and address things directly.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was working at my first job in corporate America, I was 22 years old, I was being harassed by a coworker. It wasn't sexual harassment, but it was harassment.
A male coworker?
It was a female coworker, and it was verbal. So I did what my mama taught me to do, and I told her that it was not okay, and it was making me uncomfortable, and I wanted her to stop. And she escalated it. It came through anonymous emails. I started receiving things through the mail. Got postmarked all over the country. It was like, it was very strange what she was sending me. It was very inappropriate. So I brought it to the level of HR, and the HR director told me very clearly that because I confronted her, I escalated the situation. And so
wow.
The situation is a result of my choice to do that. It was against policy. The policy states I should have reported it. And they took no action. Absolutely no action.
So what did you end up doing?
I left the job.
That's such a sad story.
It's
well,
unfortunate, but it wouldn't change how I would handle it again in the future.
Good.
I would absolutely
good.
Handle it directly.
I'm glad for you, and I respect you for it. This is where I think political correctness has gone mad, because the HR departments have absurd policies that often just disregard common sense. And there's a common sense quotient involved in your story. Common sense is that they should have done something, period. Okay, I don't care what the manual says. And that's where I think political correctness has gone mad, because it's thrown out common sense when these things happen. And because it's often a gray area, if we just put common sense back into the equation, we could probably have some better resolutions. Listen, we are out of time, Dr. Weberman. Please quickly give my audience contact info for you.
Fantastic. So the blog is theparentingplayground.com, mm-hmm. and we are also on Facebook under the same name, and my Twitter handle is dr_Weberman with one B.
And I hope I'll see you at Dad Chat. Dr. Weberman has been a co-host at Dad Chat wonderfully. We had a very spirited one with you that was quite successful. Thank you again for that, and thank you again for gracing my show with your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, and we will be back for some closing remarks after these commercials.
Hey, man, you seem happy this morning. Don't you read the newspapers?
You just have to have a positive outlook on life. That's all.
What do you mean? Nobody could be happy in this place.
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing. As a great philosopher once said, the truth of the matter is that all the happiness you ever find lies in you.